Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sufi temple here in Cape Town. The name for this talk and most of its substance was taken from the Social Ghataka 38, Man, the Seed of God, by Hazrat Inayat Khan. And just for a bit of context, the Ghatakas are lectures that give an introduction to the philosophy and spiritual practices of Sufism, and specifically our path, Universal Sufism. They were given to us by our teacher, Pir o Murshid Hazrat Inayat Khan, who is also the man who brought the Sufi message from the East to the West when he travelled from India to North America in 1910. So, Man, the Seed of God. This talk's title reminded me of a song that I really liked as a teenager in the 90s. The song was called Pure, a big hit at the time, and it was by a band called The Lightning Seeds. And even though I liked the song very much, I think I liked the name of this band even more. And then, of course, the title of this talk made me think about more ordinary seeds too. And I'd like to share with you this definition of a seed, which I came across in my research for this talk. A seed is the embryonic stage of a plant's life cycle. It functions as a tiny self-contained package of genetics that allows flowering plants and gymnosperms to reproduce. A typical seed consists of three main structural parts. The embryo, a tiny undeveloped plant containing the beginnings of a root, stem, and leaves. The endosperm, a supply of stored nutrients, starches, oils, and proteins that provides food for the embryo until it can produce its own energy via photosynthesis. And then the seed coat, or the testa, a tough protective outer layer that keeps the seed safe from harsh environmental conditions, microbes, and physical damage. When provided with the right conditions, the correct temperature, moisture, and oxygen, a seed will undergo germination, breaking out of its seed coat and sprouting into a new seedling. And in this Social Ghataka, Inayat Khan then throws a mystical light on this phenomenon, using plants and how they reproduce as a metaphor for humans' relationship to God. He says, "There is a root and there is a stem, and there are branches. There are leaves, there comes a flower. But in the heart of the flower, there is something which tells the history of the whole plant. The seed was there right in the beginning. From the seed came the roots, the sprout, and eventually the full plant. For a time, as the plant grew, the original seed seemed to disappear. Then the leaves, branches, and flowers appeared, and the seed returned again as multiple seeds, and though there are many, they are still the same in essence. The seed reveals the whole story, begins as a seed, becomes the full plant, and its final purpose is to return again as seed through the completed life of the plant." And so we are reminded that if there is any way to understand God and God's true nature, it can only come through exploring the relationship between human beings, us, and God. Any comparison is impossible because human beings are limited, which means we can only be compared to other limited beings. Trying to compare, explain, or describe God, says our teacher, is like trying to put the ocean into a bottle. However large a bottle, it can never accommodate the ocean. So we can only attempt to understand this deeply mysterious, all-pervasive divine force by trying to make sense of our relationship to it, to God. Continuing in this social Ghataka, Inayat Khan explores this relationship further, again using the seed-to-plant metaphor. This is the idea which is spoken of in the Bible, where it is said that God created man in his own image. It is the same as if the seed out of which the plant comes were to say, "Out of my own image I have created the seed, which will come forth from the heart of the flower. I shall appear as many, although in the beginning I am one grain." The leaf, the branch, and the stem have all come out of the seed, but they are not the image of the seed. The image of the seed is the seed itself, and the seed in the heart of the flower is the essence of the original seed that is present in every seed that comes after. Inayat Khan continues, "This shows us that humans are the culmination of the whole of creation, and that in them the whole universe is manifested. The mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the animal kingdom are all to be found in the being, in the spirit of a human being." It not only means that the different properties, such as mineral and vegetable, are to be found in the physical body that is made for humans, but their mind and their heart also show all the different qualities. The heart is like either a fertile soil or a barren desert. It shows love or lack of love, the productive faculty or destructiveness. Now, the heart, that physical, emotional, spiritual, and mystical phenomenon, is much contemplated in all the religions of the world, and so also in Sufism and in the Sufi message of Hazrat Inayat Khan. In Islam and Sufism, the heart is referred to as qalb. The root of this word means to turn or change. So when we talk about qalb, it's not just about the heart, but also the heart quality, specifically the development of it on the spiritual path. In volume 6, The Alchemy of Happiness, we read, "The heart is the throne of God in the human being. When the heart is open, God is present. When the heart is closed, God appears absent, though God is never absent." And in volume 10 of the Sufi message, Sufi Mysticism, we read, "The living heart has the same quality as the primal being of God, and it is because of this that the heart of a human being is the greatest magnet there is. The primal aspect of the divine being, as it is said in the Bible, is love. The manifestation of the same principle in its fullness is to be found in the hearts of men and women, and thus the awakening of the heart is, in fact, the awakening of God." So, qalb, this turning of the heart, is really the beginning of the awakening of the soul. It is a deeply spiritual concept, qalb, the shifting of one's focus, desires, and passions away from the world, from the ego and its wants and needs. In volume 8 of the Sufi message, we read, "The further one goes, the more one sees behind things, the more one becomes attached to all planes of existence, not only living on the surface of life. This is a new kind of awakening. Then a person need not experience what death is, for they can bring about a condition where they rise above life. Then they come to the conclusion that there are many worlds in one world. They close their eyes to the dimensions of the outer world and find within their own selves, in their own hearts, the center of all worlds. and the only thing that is necessary is turning. In the Social Ghataka, Man, the Seed of God, Inayat Khan continues, "There are different kinds of stones. There are precious stones, and there are pebbles and rocks. And so there is among human hearts a still larger variety. Think of those whose thoughts, whose feelings have proved to be more precious than anything that the world can offer. The poets, the artists, the inventors, the thinkers, the philosophers. Then, the servants of humanity, the inspirers, the benefactors of humankind. No wealth, no precious stone, whether diamond or ruby, can be compared with it, and yet it is the same quality. And then there are rock-like hearts. One might knock against them and break oneself, and yet they will not move. There is the wax-like quality of the heart, and then there is the quality of the stone. There are melting hearts, and there are hearts which will never melt. Is there anything in nature which is not to be found in human beings? Have they not in their feeling, in their thoughts, in their qualities, the picture of running water, a picture of fertile soil, and a picture of fruitful trees? Is it not in the heart of the human being, the picture of the plant, of fragrant flowers? The flowers which come from the human heart live longer. Their fragrance will spread through the whole world, and their color is seen by all the people." Now, if there is one thing that's common knowledge about seeds, it's that in order to become a plant, they need to germinate. And in my research about seeds for this talk, I came across something truly amazing. A scientific research paper on the Science Direct platform titled "Germination, Still a Mystery." And in the little overview summary that always precedes these scientific articles, these words: "While there is much information with respect to changes in gene expression during germination, no key event has been identified that results in its completion. The downstream effects of the observed hormone changes are not known." And then it continues, "Given the multi-part nature of the seed, the requirements imposed upon it, repair, maintenance, preparation for seedling growth, in addition to completing germination, which involves only a limited number of cells, the challenge to identify germination completion genes is large." Germination, still a mystery. And yet it is always happening all around us. Seeds germinate and grow into plants and trees, and we admire the flowers, experience them through our senses, their beauty, their fragrance, their colors. We are nourished and healed by the fruits, the roots, the seeds, and the leaves. But to truly comprehend and understand the mystery that is germination, the life force, the essence of life, life itself from our limited point of view, our limited understanding, our limited being, it's like trying to put the ocean into a bottle. In Social Ghataka 38, Inayat Khan tells us, "To the person who believes only in their particular idea, for them there is no relation between God and humans. But to someone who wishes to understand the relation between humans and God, for them the proof of this argument is to be found in everything." In the same Ghataka we read, The one who has not recognized the image of God in the human being has not seen the artist who has made this creation. They have deprived themselves of this vision, which is most sacred and most holy. A person who thinks that humans are earthly does not know where their soul comes from. The soul comes from above. It is in the souls of men and women that God is reflected. The Persian mystic and poet Al-Ghazali said, "What a tragedy that the body that will rot is pampered, and the soul that will live forever is neglected." In volume 11 of the Sufi Message, Philosophy, Psychology, and Mysticism, these aphorisms by Inayat Khan. No soul perishes. The soul was not born to perish. The source of the soul is perfect, and so is the goal. And then in the same Gathika, Man, the Seed of God, we read, "The whole of humanity is directed towards one desire, the desire which is God's object, the fuller experience of life. The fuller experience of life within and without, the fuller knowledge of life above and below. It is the widening of the outlook, that it may become so wide that in the soul, which is vaster than the world, all may be reflected. That the sight may become so keen that it may probe the depths of the earth and the highest of the heavens. In this lies the fulfillment of the soul. And the soul who will not make every possible effort and every sacrifice for its attainment has not understood religion." What is the Sufi message? It is the training, practicing, and working throughout life towards that attainment which is the fulfillment of the purpose of God. Now, as we get to the end of this talk, I'd like to return for a moment to my 90s band, The Lightning Seeds. So, after more than 3 decades of not giving this band a single thought, I was reminded of them again when preparing for this talk. I realized I knew nothing about them, probably because they featured in my life before smartphones and I think even the internet. I looked them up online, and I was amused to find out that this name I found so poignant had no particularly profound meaning. It was derived from a misheard lyric in another song by the artist Prince. Or is it the artist formerly known as Prince? If anyone is curious, the original lyric was "The lightning sees." Of course, none of this matters. It is still a beautifully poetic and evocative name. It still reminds me of that most precious of things, that spark of divinity within each of our very human hearts, which on this Holy Pentecost Sunday feels especially relevant somehow. In volume 3 of the Sufi Message, The Art of Personality, we read, "Love is the divine impulse within the heart, leading the soul back to its source. Every experience of love, however human, is a reflection of the one love, which is God." The divine impulse within the heart, leading the soul back to its source. I'd like to close with these words from the Gayan of Hazrat Inayat Khan. "Thy soul, my soul is thy spirit, Master, now that I exist no more. It is thee, beloved, whom I see in all names and forms. thou art closer to me than myself. Let thy might strengthen me, thy light inspire me, Lord, and thy love move my soul to the ultimate joy. My life is running towards thee, O divine ocean, as the river flows to the sea. Thank you.